GCF, South Metro. Let me tell you, this is a good investment for your spiritual life. IDMC 2019. And it will be held at GCF South Metro on November 1 and 2. November 1, 2 p.m. So there's still a chance for you to mingle with your family on November 1. I know it's a holiday. And as Filipinos, we use that to interact with our family. So November 1 morning, you can go to your family. And then November 1 afternoon, and then November 2, the whole day. Let's invest in our spiritual life. Now, last Wednesday, September 25, many were surprised with what happened last Wednesday. Sino po ba ang na-traffic dito last Wednesday? Ay, kaunti lang sila lang. The rest, nandito lang po ba tayo? Diba? And I'm sure we heard that. We were surprised at South Luzon Expressway. And I guess we surprised, not in a good way. That is not in a good way. There was a gridlock and traffic jam during that time because of the Skyway construction. And I read a lot of complaints in the social media, Facebook, Twitter. And one comment there, it says, that woman left New Valley at 7 a.m. and she was able to reach Makati at 11 a.m. Wow. 4 hours, New Valley to Makati. Eh, pwede yan. Less than an hour lang yung Makati. 4 hours. And one comment also says there, sacrificio talaga. And that caught my attention. That word, sacrifice. Sacrificio talaga. Sacrifice means giving up something. That's what sacrifice means. You give up something. And for that person who made that comment, sacrificio talaga, he sacrificed his time in terms of time. Because 2 to 3 hours, 2 to 4 hours of just got in traffic. Come to think of it, 2 to 4 hours, you're there sitting. Unproductive, in other words. So you're just giving up your time. So one way or the other, we know what it means to sacrifice, what it means to give up something. In this case, in traffic, time. We know if you are traversing South Luzon Expressway, whether for work, for school, you give up a lot of time. And not only time, maybe you also give up sleep. Because instead of leaving 6 o'clock, hindi na pwede ngayon yan. Okay? Hindi na pwede yan. Dapat by 4 a.m., maalis ka na ng bahay. So, 2 hours. Diba? So, you sacrifice not only time, but also your sleep. Because you need to wake up much more earlier just to go to work or to school. So we know how to make a sacrifice or sacrifices. We know that. What about making a sacrifice or sacrifices to the one who loved us and gave himself for us? We can make sacrifice sa traffic, di ba? But what about to the one who loved us and gave himself for us? When he calls us to give up something, when he calls you to give up something, are you willing to give it up for Jesus? Now, beloved, we can never... We can never, ever repay what Christ had done for us. He died on the cross, and on the third day, he rose again from the grave for us to be declared righteous, for us to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus made that perfect sacrifice to satisfy God's cry for justice. And we all believe this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus Christ made that perfect sacrifice. He gave his life to redeem us from the wrath of God. Therefore, we can never, ever outgive God. When making sacrifices, do not think that we are repaying God. No. We cannot outgive God. We cannot repay him. We must be forever, ever grateful to what he has done for us. So therefore, in view of who Christ is, we learn in this series that Jesus is worthy of it all. In view of who Christ is, he is worthy of it all. What he has done, may we learn to make sacrifices for him. And in order for us to be able to make sacrifices, we need to become selfless people. So therefore, we must avoid being self-centered. Instead, we must become selfless people in order for us to be able to make sacrifices to Jesus. And where can we find that? We are now in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. Again, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. May I invite all of you? For our scripture reading, we will read verses 3 to 9. Again, Mark 14, verses 3 to 9 for our scripture reading. Shall we all rise in reverence to the reading of God's word? Let us read this together. If you cannot see it on screen, please read it in your Bible. In verse 3, it says, "While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, 'Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they scolded her. But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her.'" May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, may your spirit teach us to really make an extravagant sacrifice for our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Lord, would you encourage us through your word? Help us to see the truth of your word, that we must become selfless people in order for us to be able to make sacrifices to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. His name is Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Remember, we are in the book of Mark, and the whole book of Mark, we say that it talks about Jesus Christ, about his service and his sacrifice. Therefore, the big idea in the book of Mark is that we must follow Jesus in terms of service and sacrifice, a journey towards service and sacrifice. In the first half of Mark, we're talking about service. Now we are on the second half of the book of Mark, and we are talking about the sacrifice of the Son of God. Now, the big idea of this passage, we can see this clearly if we put it in a chiastic format. Again, it's a Hebrew literature. In Hebrew literature, in a chiastic format, you will see the emphasis. You will see immediately the emphasis. In verses 1 and 2, that's the plot of Jesus, the plot of the religious leaders to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the story of the woman who offered an extravagant sacrifice to Jesus. And then the last part, it talks about, again, the religious leaders, this time together with Judas, when Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So the context of the passage, this foreshadows the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we are now in this section about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will learn more about that as we go along the book of Mark. Now, from context, we now move to the content of the passage. What can we see in this passage that we can apply in terms of sacrifice? Remember, we must follow Jesus in terms of service and also sacrifice. Look at the contrast between the woman and the religious leaders, the disciples, and then Judas. Okay? The religious leaders, they were self-centered people. Why? Because when it comes to their popularity, they want to get rid of Jesus. Remember when Jesus got the attention of this crowd, the people, and when they saw the authority of Jesus, the religious leaders, they became indignant with Jesus. They want to get rid. They want to kill Jesus because they were losing popularity during that time. So they were selfless. They were self-centered because they're only thinking of themselves. While the disciples, they were become indignant with the woman because they were looking at the cost of the material. when it comes to the extravagant sacrifice of the woman. And obviously Judas, he is a self-centered person because of greediness, because he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. While the woman, she was a selfless person when she made that extravagant sacrifice for Jesus in preparation, as what the Lord said, in preparation for his burial. So by looking at this contrast, we can learn that we must avoid being self-centered. Instead, we must become selfless in order for us to be able to make sacrifices for Jesus. And how can we be selfless? First, we must think of ourselves less and more of Jesus. Second, be selfless by making, of course, sacrifices for Jesus. And third, be selfless by having full devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the first one. Be selfless by thinking of yourself less and more of Jesus. Look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Let's look at the narrative here. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the feast of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes, the religious leaders, they were seeking how to arrest him. Arrest him not to put in prison, because it says there, seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. They wanted to arrest Jesus to kill Jesus. That's their agenda here. Now, why? And why they don't want to do it during that time, during the feast of the unleavened bread? Look at verse 2. For, because they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. Now, during the feast, there were about 85,000 to 300,000 pilgrims. They will go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread. So think about that, about 300. Aside from the population, that time, around 120,000. So all in all, there were about 420,000 people during that feast, the feast of the unleavened bread, or the Passover. Passover, it means they commemorate what the Lord had done for them. Remember the book of Exodus, from how the Lord delivered them from the hands of the Egyptian. And the 10 plagues, it's Pharaoh versus God. It's not actually Moses, but Pharaoh versus God. The 10 plagues, and the ultimate plague is that the firstborn of the Egyptians all have died. But the Israelites, they were spared. How? By putting blood on their doorpost. So yesterday, we're celebrating that. And also, in this event, they were, these pilgrims and even the people in Jerusalem, they were filled of this hope of expectation to the Messiah who will liberate them this time around, not, of course, from the Egyptians, but from the Roman tyranny. So actually, they were looking for a political Messiah. Now, these religious leaders, they were self-centered because they wanted the applause of men and also the Roman government. Therefore, they don't want to kill Jesus during this time. There are a lot of influx of people, 420,000 people. They don't want to arrest Jesus. Why? Because there might be a riot. And it will not sit well with the Roman government. What will happen is that if they could not control the people, the Roman government could get rid of them. They will be replaced in the temple. So all they were thinking was their position, their power. Yun lang po yung iniisip nito mga religious leaders. Kaya gusto natin mawala si Jesus, pero wag ngayon. Wag muna ngayon na maraming tao during that time. So they were self-centered. What can we learn from this? The religious leaders who killed Jesus, they were self-centered people. Okay? They don't want to lose their position, their power in the temple. Remember when Jesus again confronted them, how the people saw the authority of Jesus Christ. The people began to get interested with Jesus, no longer with these religious people. So now they plan to get rid of him, plan to kill him. Now for us today, we must become selfless people by thinking of ourselves less and more of Jesus. It's not about our popularity. It's not about our position or power. When I am meditating on this passage, I remember the very words of John the Baptizer in John chapter 3, verse 30, wherein John said, "He must increase and I must decrease." We must not think of our position, popularity, or power, but rather we must always think of what we can do for Jesus, for God's glory. It's not for our own glory. The scripture says in Colossians, it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we do things not for us to become popular or to be in position, but we are doing things for the glory of God. Now, perhaps some of you will say, well, I don't think I am a self-centered person. Okay. Let's have a test. Okay? Yatin ang test. Test natin if we are a self-centered person or not. Diba? Since we are all Filipinos here, meron bang ibang mukhang nakita ko ng puro Filipinos pa, mahilig tayo sa selfie, di ba? Alam niyo ba yung selfie? Alam natin yan, di ba? Or kung hindi naman selfie, hindi naman sarili mo, groupie, kung tawagin, group picture. Picture nga tayo, ayun nandun yung phone ko eh. Dapat group picture tayo. Picture, group. Whether you have a gathering, small gathering, big gathering, there will always be a picture. Yan ang Filipino eh, di ba? Lagi may picture. Groupie, picture. Pagkatapos mag-picture, di ba? Uy, patingin nga nung picture. Titingnan natin yan, di ba? Hindi nyo ba ginagawa yan? Kunyari pa kayo, di ba? Pagtingin nyo sa picture, sino una nyo tinitignan? Di ba? Sino una nyo hinahanap? Tinitingin nyo ba, maganda ba yung kuha doon sa mga katabi ko? O maganda ba yung kuha, sino? Sa sarili mo. Pag nakapikit ka doon, di ba sabi mo, oy, ulit tayo, di ba? Wala kang pakialam kaya maganda yung mga na... Ulitin natin kasi ipopost, di ba? Ang pangit naman pag pinost sa Facebook, nakapikit ka. Diba? Ulitin natin. Kunyari, for safety shot, di ba? Baka kasi mabura eh. Oh, di ba? Wala naman sila, hindi nila alam na kaya pala nakita mo na yung sarili mo doon. Pero sabihin natin, oh, I'm not a self-centered person. I'm not a self-centered person. So church, if you want to become selfless so you can make sacrifices for Jesus, we must learn how to decrease. It's not about us. We must learn to decrease and let Jesus increase in your life. He must increase and I must decrease. It is not about your popularity. It is not about your power, your position. It is all about Jesus Christ. In this church, in this local church, in GCF Nuvali, we make His name famous. Amen. Not GCF Nuvali, not Pastor Erwin, nor the leaders. We only make one name famous, and His name is Jesus Christ. We want Jesus to be lifted high in our life, not our own self. Remember, we are here. We are committed to multiply authentic disciples of Jesus. And when we talk about discipleship, it means dying to ourselves. He must increase and I must decrease. When we have this attitude of selflessness, then and only then we can make an extravagant sacrifice to Jesus Christ. Let's look at the story of the woman. And while Jesus Christ was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, then Mark did not give any clue as to why they were there at the house of Simon the leper. As he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of ointment of pure nard. Now, what's pure nard? If you don't know what a pure nard is, look at the next sentence. What does it say? The two words there. So we can have somehow an idea. What's a pure nard during their time? It says there that pure nard was? Is it just say costly? Superlative, di ba? Very costly. Very expensive. That ointment is very expensive. And she broke it and poured it over Christ's head. That ointment was very, very costly. And in verse 5 of this, you will see somehow how much is that very expensive, because the disciples who were indignant with her says it could be sold for about 300 denarii. Now, what is a 300 denarii? So we can picture how costly, okay, this pure nard is. Remember the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6. In the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus said, go ahead and feed them. And remember, the disciples said, how can we feed them? Are we going to spend 200 denarii just to feed these 5,000? So in their computation, how much do they need to feed 5,000? 200 denarii. And the ointment, how much is the cost? According to them, it's around 300 denarii. So it's enough, more than enough to feed 5,000 men during that time. Kayo kaya, magpa-party kayo ng 5,000. Magkano yung gagastusin nyo doon? Parang ganun yan. So you can understand the context here. You see how extravagant the sacrifice is of this woman to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then she just simply poured it over to Jesus. Well, not everyone is happy during that time, because it says in verse 4, there were some, plural, okay? There were some, not only Judas, because if you believe that a parallel passage is in the book of John, John made a commentary on this, that it was Judas who mentioned this phrase. But clearly, Mark said, there were some, not only Judas, some of the disciples, perhaps not all, but some, they were indignant. Because it says, who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. That word scolded in the original language, to put emphasis, literally it means they scolded her harshly. That's the literal translation. Harshly. They rebuked her harshly. But look at Jesus Christ. Look at what Jesus has said to them. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She had done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. So here's the reason as to why Jesus allowed the woman to anoint her and did not rebuke her. It was for his burial. In verse 8, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. So that woman, she received commendation from Jesus, opposite to what she received from the disciples. Now, in the Jewish context, almsgiving, giving to the poor, is one of the good works. And included in that good works is to bury the dead. So almsgiving, you can do it anytime, right? That's what Jesus was trying to say to them. You can do it anytime because you are doing it for the living. Doon sa mga buhay. But yung para sa mga patay, para ilibing mo yan, it's just for a moment. Siyempre, as a need arises. And during this time, Jesus knew it. He is as good as dead during this time. He's already dead. He knew it. He knew that his time has come. This is it. Because when we move forward in the latter part of Mark 14, 15, we will see the cross. He knew. It's about, this is my time. Now, think of this for a moment. After Christ's arrest, where were the disciples? They scattered. After his death, when he died on the cross, where were the disciples? Except for perhaps for John, the beloved, he was there. But who took the body? Who buried the body of Jesus? Is it the disciples? No. It was actually Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who took the body and buried. The disciples, they're gone. The poor, you can always have them. Jesus said, but how about me? Ito na ako, ito na yon. This is it. I'm good as dead. And then Jesus said, truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Now, the commendation of Jesus to the woman, it is also a declaration of victory. When he said, when the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, she will be remembered in memory of her. Aside from the preparation of his burial, what Jesus was trying to say here, it will not end there. My death, it will not end inside the grave. Because we all know the story that after three days, Jesus rose from the dead. That is the good news. The story will not end in his burial. And beloved, let me be clear on this. The story of Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, it's not a fiction. Baka po akala natin parang Marvel yan. No. It's not a fiction. It is based on history. We believe in a historical Jesus. That even up to now, skeptics, they were trying to prove that it did not happen. But where's the body of Jesus? They could not produce the body. And they will not be able to produce the body. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He is alive. Did you believe that? Parang hindi kayo naniniwala. That's our hope. Do you believe that our faith is based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if He did not raise from the dead, then our faith is futile. That is the very reason why we stand on that truth. Because we believe that resurrection is true. That is the good news. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Salvation is only possible through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. It is only through Jesus Christ. And He said here, together with the proclamation of the gospel, the woman will be remembered and the significance of what she did to our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the fulfillment of that promise. We are tackling this passage. We are remembering also that woman who poured out that extravagant sacrifice to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what can we learn from this? We are called to be selfless, not only to think of ourselves less and more of Jesus. We are also called to be selfless to make sacrifices for Jesus. Again, the scripture is not asking us to repay God for what He has done. Because the truth is, we can never, ever, ever repay Jesus Christ. We cannot outgive God. Church, don't ever think that you can outgive God. We can never outgive God. He already gave His all to us, even though we do not deserve it. He demonstrated His love, and the embodiment of God's love, mercy, and grace is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Remember who Jesus Christ is. He is our God, our Master, our Lord, our Messiah, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. So in view of who He is and what He has done, are you ready? Are you willing to make sacrifices for Him? Let me share to you a true story by the name Eric Fellman. Eric Fellman, when he meets a Chinese couple because he was in Hong Kong and he was ready to travel to China, and he knew when he will meet this couple and along with his friends that he will be asked to carry Bible in China. It was around 1986. And during that time, I think it's still up to now, it's a no-no to carry Bibles. It's equivalent to a contraband. Para bang drugs yung dala-dala mo. Okay? A Bible. So, ayaw niya. So this friend of him took him to a narrow alley to meet these people. So he was there, and a Chinese man actually opened the door, about his 60s. His smile was radiant, even though his back was bent, almost double. So the posture is not good. In other words, he was already in his 60s. Okay? And then there was also a woman about the same age, and they both served him tea. Okay, as she lingered, I could not help but notice how sweet they are in their 60s. Two senior citizen. Yeah. So sweet to each other. They hold hands, they look at each other. And so medyo parang, alam yung takan-taka talaga si Eric. Di ba? Parang sobra naman yata to. Parang tayo, siguro sa mga anak natin, di ba? Parang, ano ba naman kayo, daddy, mommy, pag sobrang sweet, di ba? Parang uncomfortable siya. So, syempre, tinanong niya sa kasama niya, di ba? And then, kasi yung dalawa, nahalata naman, nung senior citizen na medyo, ano yun, siguro na awkward din si Eric. Diba? So, they started giggling at each other. Medyo natutuntuwa sila. So, he asked his friend, what is this all about? And then, his friend said, oh, it's just okay. They wanted you to know that it's okay because they were newly weds. Diba? At 60s. Newlyweds, di ba? Kahit naman sino, magtataka. Now, I learned, Eric said, that they were engaged 1949 when the man was still in his, when he was still a student at Nanking Seminary in China. And on that day, on their wedding rehearsal, Chinese communists seized the seminary And they took all the students, including this man, and they put it in hard labor prison. And for the next 30 years, the bride-to-be was only allowed once a year to visit his fiancée. And each time, following their brief minutes together, the man would be called to the warden's office and he will be asked, "You may go home with your bride-to-be only if you renounce Christianity." And the man replied with just one word, "No." No. So Eric Feldman was stunned how he'd been able to stand that for so long. If he could just answer yes, then tapos na. But he said no. So out of his curiosity, he asked the man, "Why? Why?" And here's the reply of that man. "With all that Jesus has done for me, how could I betray him? How could I betray him?" Eric Feldman, the next day, he said to these men, "Crumb up my suit with Bibles, training literatures for Chinese Christians. I am determined not to lie about the materials when I get there, because I will not lose sleep about worrying it about the consequences." And by God's grace, he said, "My suitcase were never even inspected when I got to China." For that man, Chinese man, he made a sacrifice for Jesus. For Eric Feldman, he got out of his comfort zone. Because after hearing that story, okay, he's now ready to bring Bibles in China. Actually, for him, he's ready to make sacrifice. He's ready to give up his freedom. Because once they found out that it's all Bible in his suitcase, he will be put in prison. Remember, just last week, we installed here 4 pastors who will help me in the ministry. They will not be paid by GCF Nuvali. They will raise their own support by working. They are all working. And as they work, they also make sacrifices, because actually 2 of them, so that you will know this is for common knowledge, 2 of them are already enrolled at Grace School of Theology. So that you will know. Hindi naman po tayo dito basta naglalagay lang ng pastor na isa. Calling, it comes from the Lord. But once you are called, you need to equip yourself. So they are taking up Master of Arts in Biblical Studies. And the other 2, they are already in the process of enrolling also at Grace School of Theology. That's where I am studying. I am pursuing higher education in Grace School of Theology. So talking about sacrifices. Sacrifice when it comes to time, talents, and treasures. What about you, my friend? What about you, my dear brother, my dear sister? What is God telling you right now that you need to give up for Jesus? Can you make that extravagant sacrifice for Jesus? What is God telling you right now that you need to give up for Jesus? Like the woman who gave up her alabaster jar, something that was really, really costly, very expensive for her during that time. And yet, she offered it to Jesus. What about you? What about you? Are you willing? Are you willing to make that sacrifice for Jesus? Now, we can only make sacrifice to Jesus if we have full devotion to Him. Because we cannot make that sacrifice, extravagant sacrifice, if we do not have that full devotion to Jesus. Let's look at the last 2 verses. It says here, then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him, betray Jesus Christ. And when they heard it, the religious leaders heard it, they were glad and promised him to give money. So the cost is 30 pieces of silver. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. So Judas was self-centered, he was greedy, he was just thinking about the money that he will make by turning over Jesus Christ. This is in stark contrast to the woman. The woman gave up something for Jesus, while Judas, he will betray Jesus for something. He will get something. While the woman, she gave up something for Jesus. A stark contrast here. The woman showed a full devotion to Jesus by giving up a very expensive ointment. Hindi niya nakinumpute yun. Hindi siya nagko-compute para doon. Unlike Judas, betrayal. And we will discuss more about the passion of Christ as we go along. So what is it going for you and me in this passage. What can we learn from this? I pray that all of us, we will all become selfless people by having that full devotion to Jesus, that we can really, really, really honestly say that we are fully devoted to Jesus. It's easier than done. It's easier said than done. Diba? Madaling sabihin, mahirap gawin yan. David Livingstone, a pioneer Christian missionary, he went to Africa to do missions, and this is what he wrote in his journal. Let me share this to you, what he wrote in his journal. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part, take note, as a small part of the great debt owing it to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward of healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a word, such a view, such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, now and then, with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not talk when we remember comparing the sacrifice that we're doing here, comparing to this great sacrifice which Jesus Christ made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Actually, he just echoed what the Apostle Paul said. Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Going back to the traffic jam. Going back to the traffic jam at SLEX, according to SMC, San Miguel Corporation, or the Skyway Management, they said, all of you must bear with us. In other words, we must bear with them. We must make more sacrifices. Alam niyo ba kailan matatapos yan? It says December 2020. So it means January 2021. So the whole year of 2020. Okay? Maganda lang tignan. 2020 tapos na. Kaya lang, end of 2020. Now imagine this. If you are going to work or class, you can endure this traffic. You can make sacrifices every day. Your time, even your treasure, because you're still paying the toll gate. You know, your sleep. So we know how to make sacrifices. So why can't we make sacrifices for Jesus? We all know that our sacrifice for Jesus, He is worthy of it all. The traffic is not worthy. Not worthy. But Jesus Christ, He is worthy of it all. So I want us to ponder this morning as we close this morning. Here's the question for us. What is that one thing in your life that's so precious, perhaps so precious to you? What is that one thing in your life that God is asking you to give up today? The question is, are you willing to give it up? In response, I want us all to stand and sing this song. I want us all to stand and sing this song prayerfully. I want us really to meditate on the lyrics and prayerfully sing this song and meaningfully sing this song to Jesus. Okay? Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we just prayerfully sing this song, Alabaster Jar? Than the oil, the sound of my Come on, church, let's sing this together. Father, help us to realize this truth that perhaps, Lord, just like me, Lord, I'm already half of my life. I don't even know how much time I have here on this earth. But Lord, help us to really make this decision that we will use everything that we've got for you, Lord. That we will make these sacrifices for Jesus, who is worthy of it all. We will make sacrifices to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Because, Lord, the truth is, if we cannot make sacrifices to the one who loved us and gave himself for us, then to whom are we going to give our life to? So, Lord, help us to have that realization. Help us to really have this reflection, to ponder on this truth. That we must become selfless people. in order for us to make sacrifices for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let me call on our ushers for our giving. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, this is one of the things where we can reflect our sacrifices to you by giving, sacrificial giving to you, Lord God. This is one of the areas in our life, Lord, aside from time and talents, we must also learn.